do it this time. I'm going to do a content warning without saying the fuck word or talking about genitalia. Except for that time. And probably a lot throughout the season. Just so you know.
Hi everybody, I'm Tyler.
And I'm Zach.
We're Aeronauts and we're back with more word balloons. We've been flying high on our own hot air, but have stopped our journey to Skywatch Station to answer your nerdy questions. So with that in mind, Zach, what's our question this week?
What is the worst case of jobbing in Marvel or DC?
So, editor and stowaway Steven here.
Oh, here's a real worst case of jobbing.
He's just bad at his job. That's a different thing.
Well, speaking of which, I'm done setting up the baby shower for the balloon.
It's actually showering babies. We all know where this one's going, right?
No, the balloon's having a baby.
That was the other season anytime I had to ask you to do something.
And that's why we were like 6 months behind.
Wait, did you guys not get baby shower gifts for the balloon?
For the balloon?
For the balloon. The balloon's having a baby, guys.
You were saying...
Okay, no, so this question, when you first asked me this, I completely misunderstood this question. I was unfamiliar with the term jobbing beforehand. I thought you were asking who is the worst at doing their job at like Marvel or DC? And I was like, oh, cool, we can hear more about Ike Perlmutter.
I think his name was Eddie Brazanga, the guy that was the Superman group editor that got fired because he kept sexually harassing people. We might look into that sometime if I just ever give up any hope of having a job in the comic industry.
Who's the worst at these people? Who's the worst at these companies?
Jim Shooter?
I mean, there's probably just a list of people who are problematic and have been ousted by the company, and it'd be okay to talk about them, but that's not what we're talking about today.
Brendan Fletcher?
So, jobbing.
So, jobbing is a wrestling term that is...
thrown specifically at Zach for this question.
That I've been getting into wrestling. That is, doing the job means losing the match. So, the idea of a jobber is someone who routinely loses matches to make other people look good. For example, there was a faction that made it their thing because they were like solid mid-card, so they were never any of the big stars, but they would be put up against the big stars... So when the big stars beat them, they would look more impressive, that dubbed themselves the Job Squad, and they would yell, pin me, pay me, at people.
That's really good. Okay, so then I didn't fully understand this question, and I don't really necessarily have good answers for it.
But the basic idea is, like, I mean, I guess if you have specific characters that you think, like, shouldn't lose fights but routinely lose fights, or I took it as like specific examples where a character should not have lost a fight.
I kind of figured that you would go that direction, and so I came with a couple more like general examples.
Well, you go first.
Well, because like, okay, anytime you want to introduce a new big bad psychic, Professor X gets his ass whooped.
Or Moondragon.
Okay, so Steel. Anytime somebody needs to show up and shows that they're a big baddie for Superman.
That's actually a really good one, because, like, Steel is super powerful, really capable, great character, wildly undersold. We've talked before how I think he should be, like, a stalwart of the Justice League. God, he'd be a good Avenger. Holy shit. Anyways.
I know this because you had him in our Versus season.
He rolls up, and he gets fucking wrecked, and then Superman shows up to save John Henry. You're right.
It's just like, oh, yeah, dude, he got fucked up. Okay, this guy's a serious toughy.
Well, kind of along those lines, Red Tornado is jobbed countless times over the years because you can just put him back together.
And it makes me so mad because I love Reddy.
That's good.
Martian Manhunter in a similar way.
Because he's as powerful as the rest of the league, but he's not one of the big three.
On the other side, any Herald of Galactus that's not Silver Surfer. Terax is specifically who I'm thinking of, but like...
I mean, I'd also... As far as I understand Galactus, I'd say Galactus. His whole fucking job is to show up and eat a planet, but he really rarely does.
I'd say Apocalypse probably gets jobbed more than Galactus.
My only argument is, yeah, Galactus usually, like... One, it's been made very clear that Galactus has eaten a ton of planets. He's just not good at eating Earth.
Okay.
And it's usually that he gets, like... barely redirected.
It's like, it's not warm enough.
He did destroy the Skrull Empire by eating their homeworld.
I love that. That's cool. I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure for years, Gladiator only existed to get jobbed.
The leader of the Shi'ar mm-hmm. Royal Guard. Yeah. So Gladiator, big guy, Mohawk. He's kind of a Superman analog because all of the Shi'ar Royal Guard are analogs of the Legion of Superheroes. And he would show up, and he's supposed to be impossibly strong. His stuff is all confidence-based, though. So if you can throw off his confidence, you can usually beat him. The more sure of himself he is, the more capable of the win he is.
Oh, interesting.
So if you can kind of trick him, he goes, ugh, and then you can actually beat him. But it was a way of showing how dangerous he was, because he should be able to go toe-to-toe with Thor, but he loses fights he probably shouldn't.
And then I guess the only specific example I was going to come with is, I'm pretty sure the Sentry gets killed 3 times in the first 10 issues of Dark Avengers.
The Sentry was not well treated after his first run. U.S. Agent on that line. Because U.S. Agent is supposed to be Cap, but more hardcore. But usually, U.S. Agent gets his ass kicked, so Cap has to step in and save him.
What did you have for specifics?
Okay, so I have a couple of specifics. One that I know you will like, because we've talked about it before, Steven. The time Squirrel Girl beat Thanos with Uatu the Watcher watching, confirming that it's not a clone, not an alternate universe, that this is the definitive version of Thanos.
I love that that's just... They just, like, cut off any fucking argument about this. It's like,
it's maybe the most brilliant thing Dan Slott has ever done. It was so funny. And, like, I don't have a problem with it because fucking let's do it. Like, it's hilarious. And it's supposed to be. But in the same way that, like, Kazar beat Thanos once, and it was retconned to be revealed that it was a clone of Thanos that was, like, not even a tenth as powerful as he's supposed to be. But it's still Kazar and Thanos. And now, I've read that issue. It's actually really baller, and the whole time it's Kazar going, fuck, 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 I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, I'm gonna die, and, like, barely, really, he kind of escapes a way that Thanos doesn't from a destruction situation, but still.
How many one-cost cards does he have in play?
We've turned you into a monster.
Because he might stand a chance if he's got enough.
Goddamn. So, Taskmaster being beaten by Ant-Man probably should not be happening. My big winner on this, and there's a couple of good ones, but my big winner on this is when Dr. Octopus beat up the Hulk.
Wait, what?
Dr. Octopus beat up the Hulk.
I'm not saying that it's plausible, but I would love to see it.
Especially because it was drawn by Eric Larson, who does Savage Dragon, so it looked super fucking cool.
Cool.
So, I don't know if you know who Eric Larson is, but
I know who Savage Dragon is.
Mm-hmm. Eric Larson is in the same style as, like, Jim Lee or Todd McFarlane or, I guess, Rob Liefeld, but the other three, I think, are actually good, and Rob Liefeld does not work for me. There's a lot of Rob Liefeld fans out there. I'm not actually a huge fan of making fun of Rob Liefeld anymore, but, like,
there's a reason we do it, though.
Yeah. But he was a very, like, weird style. You know, his Venom is, like, Eric Larson is my favorite version of Venom, and he's got this, like, weirdly long front jaw with, like, the teeth sticking up all huge and shit, and he's the one that always had Venom have, like, green slime coming out the mouth. Like, it was
nice.
He was early 90s cool.
Hell yeah.
And he did a story called, because he had done, as the artist but not the writer, a book called Return of the Sinister Six, which, because we think of the Sinister Six as, like, a big Spider-Man thing, but after their first appearance in the 60s, they didn't show up again until the 90s. They were not a long occurring team.
Oh, interesting.
And then they get brought back, and Sandman betrays them to... whatever. The Revenge of the Sinister Six, they're reformed. Doc Ock gets new arms, which I'm confused because they're supposed to be fused to him, but whatever. And they're made of adamantium now, because Wolverine was really taken off. And to prove how dangerous he was with these new adamantium arms, he beats the Hulk almost to death.
So, like...
And this is Professor Hulk, who's not as powerful because he doesn't have the whole rage thing in the same way, but he's still the goddamn Hulk.
Yeah, like, I don't care that they're made of adamantium. Are they, like, literally stronger now? I know they're, like...
They were supposed to be stronger, more dangerous. This is also the same storyline where, like, do you remember that toy from the 90s where Spider-Man suddenly was, like, a cyborg with a, like, headband and stuff?
Kind of, actually.
Yeah, that's the story.
I remember the headband for some reason.
He's got like a gun arm or something, and like, no, it was fucking wild. This whole story was,
what is he hunting Uncle Ben too?
Bonkers. He the Sinister Six was like your base crew minus Sandman, and replaced with, I think, Gog, so like a Thor monster villain alien thing.
Wild.
It is one of the weirder Spider-Man stories ever made. But Peter David, who was writing Hulk, was super pissed off about this, so he had Hulk beat the shit out of Dr. Octopus later on.
Good.
Oh, and one last one.
Yeah.
Where Green Arrow takes out Prometheus in the first four pages of his comic book. So Prometheus is a villain that Grant Morrison created with Howard Porter to be the anti-Batman. In his first appearance, he almost takes out the entire Justice League on his own. He takes out Steel, Plastic Man, Green Lantern, Flash, Batman, the Huntress, Martian Manhunter, and had a spot where he might have been able to take out Superman. It wouldn't have worked, but like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
On his own. So even if he's not, like, you're not going to land that every time, especially because the problem with the anti-Batman is you end up with, how many times can he lose before he's no longer the anti-Batman and now the wannabe evil Batman? But still, he should be a huge level threat, and knock off Batman with arrows beats him up as a side plot to the big story going on. And it was so bad.
He just caught him on a bad day.
It was so bad that they revealed that Prometheus tried to make his own Robin, and that kid stole his costume and ran off and utterly ruined his name. So Prometheus killed him and then blew up Star City to get revenge on Green Arrow for making him look bad.
I love that retcon. It's just like, no, that wasn't even fucking him. That was some
shitty sidekick. Anytime a loss is so bad that they have to retcon it later.
Can we also throw in the way that Prometheus gets his ass beat by Batman?
Where he... Okay, so Prometheus has... Part of the thing is he... This is so 90s.
This is fucked up.
He's got a little CD, like a mini disc player, in his helmet. Because it was the 90s and that was high tech.
Oh, yes, you've told me this before.
That he can put, that will upload the fighting skills of different people. Batman hacked it and gave him the fighting abilities of Stephen Hawking. So he gave him motor neuron disease and beat him to a pulp. And even Batman's like, oh, I feel about that one.
You don't know how you feel about that, Batman?
I think what he actually said was, never punched someone with motor neuron disease before. And then they move punches. On.
I guess you still technically have it.
But he is twitching on the floor. Like, it's not good.
But Batman, that's not nice. Oh my God. Every time you tell me that, it's like, that's going... I know Batman doesn't kill, but Batman, you shouldn't do that either.
Maybe when Batman pours gasoline all over the floor and then lights a match and tosses it to like set up a flame ring about bunch around five white Martians and then punches them to death. Not to death, but still.
I mean,
off screen.
Off screen, yeah.
Which is where we get the Batman, like, Batman with prep time can destroy anyone that has kind of ruined the Batman story, but that was the coolest fucking moment. So yeah.
Batman has a lot of cool moments in that entire run.
Oh my God, Grant Morrison really did get Batman. Even in the stuff I disagreed with him, I'm like, all right, this is cool as hell.
Decide, nope, that's Batman. Oof, anyway. Where are we at? Oh yeah, where's it? In order to keep our journey going, we're going to have to drop some ballast. Luckily, Zach is stuffed to the brim with assorted genre facts. I'll prod him a bit and see what shakes loose. Remember, any misses or mistakes will have to be made up for at the end of our trip. Today, we'll keep with this expedition's theme of Wildstorm characters. So, Zach, what knowledge can you drop on Ladytron?
I mentioned her, like, last
time. Yes, you did. And I was mad about it.
Ladytron was created by Alan Moore and Travis Charest?
Yes.
It's like Charest. I don't know how to pronounce it. Charest? Charest?
Something like that.
He's the artist that took over from Jim Lee on Wildcats. She was a cyborg terrorist that wanted to take over, like anarchist, but in favor of cyborgs are better and being put down. Because there's actually a lot of cyborgs in Wildstorm. She is forcefully recruited into the Wildcats by Mr. Majestic, who kind of takes on a father figure role for her, but only sorta. Like, It's not like
a distant father figure.
It's kind of like how Wolverine adopts teenage girls, but while they tend to be sweet but badass and he's a murderer, it's kind of fascist Superman adopting anarchist murder cyborg.
Well, that's a great sentence. Also, I side note, I love when Batman adopts, not Batman, I love when Wolverine adopts a random teenager.
Kitty Pryde, Jubilee, Armor, Pixie for a little while. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's great.
He's done it recently as well, and I can't remember who it was with.
X-23 now. That one was a little on the nose, but here we are.
That one makes a lot more sense than some of the others, though, too.
Anyways, she's on the team mostly because she's forced to be, but also because she likes violence, so she gets it there. And she is sexually obsessed with Grifter's younger brother, who goes by, like, Red something or Agent something.
Oh, yeah. All I'm getting right here is his real name. What is his...
He ends up fucking fleeing the whole team to get away from her. But he's knockoff Grifter.
He, while wounded in a hospital, he uses that to sneak away out of the hospital while still injured to get away from her.
Oh, shit. It's not gonna work out. I gotta go. Don't follow me.
Sorry, I just had to throw that in because it's hilarious.
She was one of the characters brought back...
Condition Red.
Jesus Christ. She was one of the characters brought back when Wildstorm was merged with the DC Universe and has been in the most recent Wildcat series. She is kind of fun because she tends to be a, you know, somewhat conventional punk rock girl from the 90s, including the, like, mohawk and the, like, not lip rings, but what is it? Eyebrow piercings. Very different statement right there. But she's got, like, a metal jaw and partially metal body, like, neck and stuff. And then she tends to wear, like, white tank tops or stuff over it.
Oh, that's a cool look.
Yeah, it's a really solid design. That's a lot more boobage than I remember her having, but there we are. She's a combination of Cyborg plus every girl I had a crush on when I was 13 years old.
Is that why you have crushes on Cyborg still?
Man has needs.
Robot needs.
Yeah, I think that covered really all of the... Like, there's other storylines you could have went into, but that's all really what you need to know about.
Do they have powers beyond being a cyborg's anarchist?
I want to say one of her arms can become a gun kind of thing, and she's often destroyed down to, like, just her head, and she's real strong.
Cool.
Yeah. Also flight.
Oh, yeah. She blows shit up a lot.
Rad.
Often while inside the thing.
I get it.
Oh. She swears a lot. She's got kind of a John Constantine personality. If John Constantine was a horny lady Gen Xer, that's part robot.
Is constant? There it is. There's the differences. Part robot and lady. It's
super pro robot rather than pro human.
Yeah, does not care for humans.
Yeah, that sounds about good for Ladytron. So that's it for today, folks. We're taking off, but before we go, we'd like to remind you to hit subscribe. Check out all of our sister shows at earvrym.com. That is earvvyrm.com. Other ways to get in touch with and follow us will be in the show notes. As always, we want to give a special thanks to our editor, Stephen Gady, and Ian Ford for our theme song tracks. Until next time, I'm Tyler.
I'm Zach.
Up, up, and away.